This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله 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 الله.
Par excellence presents Jewels from the Holy Quran, a series of lectures by Mufti Ismail ibn Musa Menk. Lecture 9, Jews 10 to 11 and quarter.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عباده الذين اصطفى. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, tonight we read the opening verses of the 11th para or the chapter of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those who presented excuses for not having attended the battle of Tabuk. That was a battle wherein all the mu'mineen were supposed to come out, besides those who had valid excuses. Last night we read a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those who are weak, who were excused. Those who had other valid excuses, who did not have to attend. But there were some people who didn't attend and they did not have an excuse, and they thought that the mu'mineen might not win at this time. And when the mu'mineen returned to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the excuses that these people would come up with.
يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ قُلْ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ قَدْ نَبَّأَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ.
When you get to them, they will present excuses to you. Tell them, don't present excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us about your news. We will not believe in what you have to say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can always be found in His obedience, and not from amongst those who are found in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, make dua for my business. Make dua that I have barakah in my business. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam much more than anyone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I fear that if I make a dua for your business, you might become oblivious of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept you with a little bit less so that you can turn to the Creator. So he said, no, I promise and I guarantee if Allah gives me wealth, I'm going to spend it in His path. Let's listen very carefully. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for him, that, oh Allah, grant this man. He was granted the same day, it is reported, like worms, like all worms happen to multiply. That is how his business began to grow, the same day. And it was so big that he had to shift out of Al-Madinatul Munawwara with all his livestock and so on. And he was a man who used to read 5 salah a day. After some time, he began to read 3. After some time, he left those 3. He used to come only for Jumu'ah. After some time, even that he stopped. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions, where is this man? And he was told that, you know, this man, ever since he's become rich, he's forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, zakat was not compulsory. It was only voluntary. But one day, the verses of zakat were revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses which made zakat compulsory. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some people, some of his companions, go to this man and tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now made it compulsory for you to give some wealth in his cause. So they went. They left Al-Madinatul Munawwara and on the outskirts they found him and they said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent us to you and he has told us that we should come and get wealth from you because zakat is compulsory and this is the verse. They read the verse of the Quran. He scratched his head and he said, no. It can't be. Who else are you going to go to? Is there anyone else you were sent to? They said, yes, we were sent to 2 people, yourself and another man. So he said, go to that man and then on your way back, let's see what I can do for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, these people went to the other man. The other man was a Sulami. He was also one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As soon as the verse was read, he came out with the best of his wealth, the best of his camels, and he said, take this in the path of Allah. Take this as zakah. And they informed him that, look, we are not supposed to take the best of your wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, ittaqi kara'ima amwalihim. Stay away from the best of the wealth. Take that which is mediocre. Not the worst and not the best. The middle. So he gave and he said, no, I want to give this. I want to give it. Allah has given me all that I have and I want to give it. And on their way back, after having collected all this, they passed by that man once again. And he saw it and he said, listen, I've decided I'm not giving you. You can go. Do what you want. This all this wealth here is mine. Allahu Akbar. So Allah makes mention of that. We read the verse last night, but it's connected to tonight's verses. So let me read the verse we read.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
From amongst the people are those who promise Allah that if we get wealth, then we will definitely give our charities and we will be from amongst the righteous.
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ.
Then when they got the wealth, they became stingy and they turned away. Allahu Akbar. Allah speaks of this incident here in the Quran. Then Allah says,
فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ.
As a result, Allah says, we instilled hypocrisy in that man's heart up to the day of Qiyamah because of the fact that he turned away, he reneged and he lied. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Whenever we promise Allah, we must fulfill the promise, no matter what. Sometimes we make a promise in our business that, ya Allah, 20% I'll give for your cause. We start off with 100 rands, so 20 rands is nothing. But when you get to 100 million, then 20 million means a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. But when it gets to that, that is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to be like these who failed the test. So that man's wealth was never accepted. After that, one of his relatives was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this verse was revealed. He rushed to this man and he says, you know what? There's a verse that was revealed in your case and now you are going to be declared a hypocrite. So he ran with the best of his wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you know what? You've come with the wealth now. Allah has prohibited me from taking it from you. Allah does not need this wealth. He cried and he begged day after day, year after year. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya and he still begged Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take it, who am I? The same happened at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. If he didn't take it, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu didn't take your wealth, who am I? And the same happened at the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And this man happened to pass away at the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. May Allah save us. Now let's see how his wealth was used. Because we know he had lots of wealth. So now, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man known as Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And this man, he was a hypocrite. He was not a Muslim, but he pretended to be a Muslim. He entered the ranks of the Muslimin and he spied and he wanted to split and so on the Muslims because they were about to choose him as the leader of Medina before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah. And when the hijrah happened, he lost out, so to speak. So he was always against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he decided, you know, there is a Masjid Quba, there is Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. I need to try and make an army of people who are weak. I can't get Abu Bakr, I can't get Umar, I can't get those who are solid and strong in Iman. But those who are accepting Islam now, recently, meaning newly, let me try and build a masjid, just near Masjid Quba. And when they come for Salah there, I will contaminate their minds. So he built a masjid. And it was close to the time of the Battle of Tabuk. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where did he get the money from to build that masjid? Where did he get the wealth from to build that masjid? One of the biggest contributors was that man. That man whose wealth was rejected in the good cause, Allah used his wealth in an evil cause to split and divide the Muslim ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this to everyone who becomes arrogant when they become wealthy. When we become wealthy, we must learn to come down to earth. And we must make dua to Allah, ya Allah, use our wealth in the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need wealth. When we go to a certain cause and we say, listen, I'm stopping today, it might not be I am stopping today, it might be Allah doesn't want your wealth from today, He wants to use somebody else's wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. So, this man had used his wealth, they built a masjid. And they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come and bless this masjid of ours. They knew that he wouldn't come to read salah there all the time, but if he came once, it was enough. And then all the weak people would come there, and it was a point of convenience for them, and then they would be contaminated and the ummah would be divided into two. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the battle of Tabuk, on their way back, verses were revealed to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the reality of this masjid. It was termed Masjid Dirar, the Masjid of Harm.
وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَيَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى.
الله أكبر. Those who took a masjid, who built a masjid in order to harm the Muslim ummah as a form of disbelief and disuniting the Muslim ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that though they will promise oaths by Allah that wallahi we only intended goodness, wala yahlifunna in aradana illa al-husna, we only intended goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
La taqum fihi abada.
Don't ever set foot in that masjid. Never. Don't. Don't bless it.
La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fihi.
That masjid, Masjid Quba, which is right near there, that was built from day one with taqwa, with unity, with the involvement of the whole community, the whole ummah, that masjid is much better for you to stand in than a masjid which was a little show for one particular person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. It was called a masjid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to order some of his companions to go out and destroy it. They literally burnt it and destroyed it. So, this is mentioned in the Quran. The question is, why is the story here? Do we think it's here for no reason? Is it a pastime? Is it something that we just need to read and smile about or say, yes, those people were fixed? No, it is for us in our own societies, our own communities. Remember, the ummah is one ummah. It is a brotherhood. Any collective activity that is meant to be beneficial for the entire ummah must be done with consensus of the ummah, or at least by consulting the senior ulama of the ummah or the society or community around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. There is a trend across the globe. When I have a problem with something in this masjid, I'll build my masjid right next door. Then somebody will have a problem with me, they will build their masjid another door down. Until we have 1,000 masajid on the same street. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. By doing this, we are splitting the Muslim ummah. Yes, if there is a need, and the fathers of the community see that there is a need, and it is not the depletion of the resources of the ummah, then alhamdulillah. It is permissible, it is allowed. Because the one masjid is full, now we will build another one. One is very far off, now we want to build another one quite a distance away, because the Muslims need to read salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to understand. It's very important that we go and read these verses, the English of it, and think of how it applies to me and you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about zakah. In fact, just prior to that, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a verse wherein zakah became compulsory according to some of the ulama.
خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Take some wealth, take zakah from their wealth, that will be a means of cleansing them and purifying them. Which means, when we give wealth, it cleanses us. How does it cleanse us? We go out, we work hard, we earn sustenance. But we must know in our minds that Allah has a right in our wealth, because it is He who is the owner of sustenance. Had He not intended, we wouldn't even have had wealth. Some people work for 5 hours, they come back with 50 rands. Some people work for 1 hour, they come back with 50,000 rands. It can happen. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never make us love wealth to the degree that we give it preference over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always the Creator comes first and then everything else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who give out their wealth, they will achieve purity and cleanliness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that speaks about tawbah. And He says, He is the one who accepts tawbah, and He is the one who will accept your zakah. We might think we've given something out. Do you know it's my duty and your duty to think very hard, where am I giving my wealth? I should not be giving it to a cause similar to that cause that we spoke about, where the ummah is being disunited, where it might be being stolen and so on. I need to look for the poor man. It is an ibadah to look for the poor person. Yes, there are certain people who do that for us. If we trust them, alhamdulillah, we may give them in order to fulfill it for us. Allah says,
أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Do they not see that it is Allah who accepts tawbah? He accepts repentance. Whenever a person repents to Allah, Allah accepts that repentance. Not only does Allah accept the repentance, but He puts it in our hearts to repent. So a hard heart is that hard heart where a person does not want to repent. May Allah not make our hearts hard. May Allah soften our hearts for repentance. And Allah says that He is the one who accepts zakat. So we should all make dua to Allah after fulfilling the zakah. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after building the Kaaba, he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh Allah, I hope that you accept this from me, from us, from myself and my son Ismail. So the same way when we make an act of worship, when we engage in it, we should not become so happy I've engaged in salah. Make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, accept it. If it is accepted on the day of Qiyamah, we will be able to be proud. That's the day we will be allowed to be proud. But in this dunya, who knows, it might have been rejected. I might have given wealth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have rejected it. May Allah not do that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the company that a person keeps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, and He instructs us, and He tells us, and He has told us so many times, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about company. And here Allah says,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen.
O you who believe, be conscious of your Creator at all times, and only find yourselves with those who are truthful and trustworthy. Which means, watch your company. Be careful. Don't be in the company of those who are thieves and crooks, and don't be in the company of those who have a very bad reputation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are truthful and keep us only in good company that will be beneficial. Sometimes when a person is going through problems, especially of a social nature, you find some people who advise that person, like a marital problem, some people might advise them to say, you know what, break the marriage. No ways, especially the women folk. Some of their friends might come to them and say, no ways, how can you stay in this condition? Very bad, terrible. That person is an enemy, not a friend. That person is an enemy, not a friend. Because a friend tells you things that you might not like, but they are true and they are better for you in the long run. This is something we must understand. Hey, do you know what? Everyone goes through this problem. Come on, you need to change. Maybe you are wrong. Maybe there is something wrong with you. Why don't you do this? I don't think you as a friend, I don't think you should be doing this. This is what a friend is all about. But sometimes we feel that if we are going to tell someone and be candid with them, we might lose them as a friend. If that's the case, we are losers and they are losers as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about diversifying when it comes to what qualifications the members of the ummah have. Not all of us should be experts in medicine. Not all of us should be experts in the battlefield. Not all of us should be experts in say for example architecture. Not all of us should be plumbers, but we should diversify. The verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu spoke about it. He said on his deathbed, he said, do you know I was engaged in jihad and that occupied me from learning a lot about this deen, but I don't regret it because I served Islam in one way. There were others who served Islam in another way. So we need to understand, we need you, the Muslim accountant, the Muslim doctor, the Muslim lawyer, the Muslim architect, the Muslim plumber, and so on. We need everyone. Together, we make up the Muslim ummah.
وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فلولا نفر من كل فرقة منهم طائفة ليتفقهوا في الدين ولينذروا قومهم إذا رجعوا إليهم لعلهم يحذرون.
It is not for the entire ummah to go out into the battlefield or to go out in one direction. No. Let us have, Allah says, from amongst every community should have a certain number of people who will go out and study the deen so that they can come back to their own communities and warn their people about what is right and wrong in the sharia. But not everyone has to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. There are many lessons to be learned by this verse. One is, as we've said, we should diversify and we should supplement and complement one another. We shouldn't be against one another, understanding that when it comes to the Islamic decisions, leave those to the ulama. When it comes to rulings of this sharia, we should not make them who are laymen. Leave those to the scholars of our own community. You know, it amazes me how, if you have a group of doctors, and the head of the group of doctors is a plumber, who makes the decisions for those doctors, does it make sense? We're laughing. We are laughing here. But that is what happens on the Islamic field. You have a group of ulama, and sometimes you have the person who wants to have the say right at the top is a person who knows absolutely nothing about this religion, just like the plumber making decisions for the doctors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding of this deen, and may He grant us the ability to respect those who have knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they come back to their communities, let them warn their communities. This means that we need to understand that when our youngsters go out to study from our own communities, they are an investment for our community. When they come back, we must put them on our heads and we must respect them, give them the opportunities to spread this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to do that. What is the point of respecting an alim who is coming from far away when we are harassing our own ulama who are in our midst? What is the point of that? Yes, we should be respecting the other ulama, but not at the expense of the local ulama, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who He puts in our community as ulama. So that is why Allah is going to ask me and you how I treated the alim who lived down the road, how I treated the alim from my masjid, meaning the masjid in my area, how I treated the ulama in my locality, how I respected them, how I looked after them, or did I make their life difficult? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever sent a prophet from one nation to another. No ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets from their own people to warn them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of Surah Yunus, which we read tonight, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ أَنْذِرِ النَّاسَ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Are the people surprised that we gave a message to one of them from amongst them to go back to them to warn them and to give good news to the believers? Are they amazed? Are they rejecting it because it is one of them from their own communities? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the acceptance, really, to respect the ulama, to make their lives easy. And remember the difference between the ulama and the anbiya. The ulama are not ma'sumeen. They are not sinless and spotless. You will find sins from amongst them. You might notice a few things that might not be correct, but rather than going around and spreading tales, we rather respect the knowledge they have and try and mend ways and habits. Probably and possibly speak to them silently on a one-on-one. Try and raise the issue and solve it rather than disrespecting them, because in that case, we might just be earning the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had certain people from amongst their extended families and sometimes immediate families who rejected the call. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this intentionally, because later on when the ulama come, sometimes you find a great scholar of deen talking to you. And you might find his own children, one of them might be a person who goes to the nightclubs. So now the people come and say, you know that imam who gave us a talk on Friday, he must start with his own house first. He can't even look after his own kids and he's coming to tell us. That is a satanic statement. May Allah protect us. That is exactly what the people told the messengers. Look at Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the story we read today. The story is repeated of Nuh. Why is it repeated? Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting the incident of Nuh alayhi salam's child.
وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Nuh alayhi salam called his own son when they were in the ark and the rain started coming. The water gushed from beneath and the top. And Nuh alayhi salam said, oh my son, don't be from amongst the kuffar. Join us. Come on, join us. And he says, oh my father,
قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ
يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ Oh my father, you don't know me. I'm a man. I'm going to climb the mountain today and I'll be saved from the water. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's response,
لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم وحال بينهما الموج فكان من المغرقين
Nobody can save you today save the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the speech was happening, a huge wave came and that child drowned. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam thereafter told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you promised me that you will save my family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he was not a family member of yours. He rejected Allah. The bond of the shahada and the bond of iman is far stronger than the bond of blood. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam sought forgiveness. And from this we learn a lesson. As I said, the ulama who speak to us, sometimes they may also be facing members of their own extended family. But if we find some of the members of their own extended family astray, that does not create a blemish on them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the respect of the ulama. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter speaks about the fact that he tests us. At the end of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, he tests, he sends tests every year, once or twice or more than twice to everyone. And still the people don't turn and they don't remember. This verse was revealed on a different incident and different occasion, but the lesson is for all of us. Let's listen to the verse.
أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
Do they not see that we test them, we inflict them with calamity once or twice in the year, but still they don't repent and they don't take heed? Allahu Akbar. How many of us have suffered problems, sicknesses, robberies, death in our families, once or twice or more than that in the year. But still, we remain bent on our mischief and our bad ways. May Allah not do that to us. May we be from amongst those who can take heed at all times. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after you've delivered the message, and after you've told the people, and they still reject, then you need to make a statement to them.
وَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقُلْ لِي عَمَلِي وَلَكُمْ عَمَلُكُمْ أَنْتُمْ بَرِيئُونَ مِمَّا أَعْمَلْ وَأَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ
If they still deny and reject the message after you have delivered the message, tell them, I've got my deeds, you've got your deeds. I am answerable for my deeds to my Creator, you are answerable for your deeds to your Creator. And I will not be questioned about your deeds and you will not be questioned about my deeds. Leave them. Allah will deal with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can be concerned about ourselves more than anything else. The difficulty is, today, each one of us is meant to be involved in his or her own life, perfecting it, mending the bad ways, trying to become better, perfecting our salah, getting our tongues in order, getting our acts of charity in order, and so on. We are meant to be spending 24 hours of the day in this regard. So that would not leave us with time to bother about others. But sometimes we find ourselves talking about how good and bad this one is and that one is. Allah has kept aside a whole day, which is greater and longer than 50,000 years that we know of in this dunya. Allah has kept the day of judgment to judge people. Why should we assume the role of the Creator and start becoming judgmental here in the dunya? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those who start judging people and passing comments and saying this one is good and that one is bad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and may He grant us all upliftment inshaAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that speaks about Fir'aun. And I'm sure we heard the verse. We mentioned it before. Let me repeat it here. He did not agree with the message of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam until the point of death. When he saw the angels of death, he said, I believe in the God of Musa and Harun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him,
الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين
Is it now that you want to accept the message? When you have sinned all along in the past, and you were from amongst those who were corrupt and who were totally outside the framework of what was acceptable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those who wait and wait when it comes to engaging in repentance until the point of death, because then it will be too late. That is why the story is here for me and you to be reminded that we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it is too late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I end with one point, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of in terms of the goodness that He bestows people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَئُوسٌ كَفُورٌ.
When we have granted man goodness, and as a test, we take it away from him in order to test him. Because we should know that Allah has promised us that He will test us with all forms of tests. Then man becomes hopeless, he loses hope, and he becomes ungrateful. That should not be the case. When something has gone away from us, if we want to know whether it is a punishment or a test, we need to ask ourselves one question. Am I happy with the decree of Allah now that He has made me suffer a loss? If I am happy with the decree of Allah, then inshallah it's a test for me, and it will elevate my status. But if I am upset and I become hurt and angry and I start cursing and I am ungrateful, then it was a punishment for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says immediately after that, that when we give a person after he was tested with nothing, then sometimes people become oblivious of us. We should also not be from amongst those. Whenever we've got, we know we need to turn closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us all good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in our sustenance and blessings. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.